Hello and welcome back to yet another introless BenHeck.com podcast. I am your introless host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones, and it's hard to remember the last time we had an intro, actually.
I think it was the Mario Kart racing one, you remember?
Oh, holy shit, yeah, that was a long time ago. How old was I when we did
No, it was. I think it was in, like, the spring. It was, like, in May or April.
I was 17 when we last did an intro.
It's been 84 years. Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
Eh, someday. We'll do one for Christmas, I'm
definitely.
Sure. But...
Okay. So, in today's podcast, which has no intro, and... I don't know, I just... Yeah, we'll have a Christmas intro, and it'll be awesome, trust me. It's going to have Dale as the...
Jimmy Stewart,
yeah. And I'm going to be the angel, I think, and I don't know, maybe you can be the guy at the bar who, like, sells liquor.
Sweet.
Or whatever. It's going to be called It's a Wonderful Half-Life.
Well, of course.
This guy, his website gets taken down or crashes, you know, something that I can identify with. And
kind of like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, and then he's like, I'm never going to play Half-Life again, or I wish I never played Half-Life. So then he gets to see the world as if, you know, without him playing Half-Life.
Nice.
Stay tuned. Yeah, I could not get Dr. Pepper to load yesterday.
I still couldn't even get it to load today. I tried going around, like, lunchtime just for the hell of it, and it was still, like, toast.
I wouldn't be surprised if they extend the offer
I
deadline because the website wasn't working.
See, that probably was a big mistake on their part to say only this day, and it was on a Sunday, no less.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I wonder how many copies of Chinese Democracy they sold.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious to see, like, the actual sales stats on that, because I'm sure it's going to sell a decent chunk just out of, like, morbid curiosity. Neither one of us bought it, though.
Don't ever try and tell me.
I have to admit that Shackler's Revenge has grown on me in Rock Band 2, but
yeah.
I've heard some of the other singles off it, and they... There's one called Better or something like that, and it just god-awful sounding mess of crap.
Okay.
Axl Rose is not Trent Reznor, and he should not try to be.
Trent Reznor probably makes albums faster than 15 years.
Yeah, and he actually has talent, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, anyway, today's podcast topics are... We're going to talk about the new Xbox experience, of course, since that came out last week. Well, let's see, what else? We're going to talk about Buy Xbox 360 to Save America. kind of our political of economic Christmas statement, which I think is, you know, completely relevant.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk about Blu-ray versus seeing movies in the theater. This fall, we've both seen, like, couple movies now that we've also seen in the theater,
yeah.
And I consistently seem to think it's almost better than the theater, so we will discuss.
Yes.
And then also we're going to talk about some games we've been playing lately since we didn't get around to doing that last time.
Ah, yes.
And then I will reveal my controversial thoughts on Fallout 3. Okay, so you want to start with the new Xbox experience?
Well, there was one little funny news tidbit I saw.
Oh,
today.
Right, I forgot we do news.
Well, not really, but we do today. I saw this article, it was on GameSpot, and they were talking about how this market analyst or whatever said something to the effect about Wii games hitting the bargain bin much faster than their Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 counterparts. And then in reading the article, it was interesting because they actually cited this data, and I can't remember the exact term, but basically, publishers, what they'll do is, you know, like, yeah, GameStop or whoever, and they'll, like, buy a whole shitload of, you know, Mario Galaxy or whatever. And publishers will kind of provide almost kind of like an insurance policy against their games, so, like, if they don't sell well, the vendor can go back to... the publisher and say, hey, you know, we still got like 15 boxes of this piece of crap game of yours laying around here and we can't sell it. And so the publisher will actually refund part of the purchase price back to the vendor so the vendor can sell them at a lower price point. So basically what this article was talking about was the rate at which that happens. And it was, I think in the first 3 months was the time period they're going by, and in 3 months' time, Wii games get reduced 15-some percent of the time. PS3 games were like 9% of the time, and then 360 games were like 6 or 7% of the time.
Hmm.
It was just kind of an interesting observation on
more data that proves the Wii is only good for Nintendo, not third parties.
Yeah, and that was pretty much exactly what the article said, and it was a good indication of the shovelware topic as well, I think.
Well, I was talking to Mike Kowalski, came by after a visit today, and we were changing the shocks in his Jeep, which is actually quite easy to do on a Jeep.
Yeah, I suppose it's pretty open in
there.
Yeah,
especially if it has a lift kit. Anyway, he was asking me about my Access controller, and I've said, well, we have the PlayStation 3, PS2 version.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? We're still having to go through the approval process with Microsoft. And he's like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, they have to give you a special microchip. I mean, I'm sure this isn't like top secret kind of stuff I'm talking about.
No, I
mean, it's pretty obvious.
So.
But anyway, the point is Microsoft actually has a quality control and approval process.
Yeah.
Unlike, Nintendo, which has games like Ninja Bread Man on their system. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of a neat article because it kind of illustrated what we've been saying for like 2 years. So. Good times.
I read another article somewhere. Someone at Sega was saying that the industry is hoping that the Xbox has like more widespread adoption because it's better for third parties.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, obviously, Microsoft releases some killer first-party games, such as Gears or Well, Gears isn't.
It's
fairly
epic,
first-party.
But it's released published by Microsoft Game Studios. So,
but still, the third parties do great. Like what Fallout 3 sold like 3.5 million copies in a week or something.
And like Call of Duty always sells. And what was it? Like Far Cry 2? I read like across all platforms, which is like 360, PS3, and PC.
Yeah,
it sold 1 million copies already, and that wasn't even it had to go against all these other big games.
But I'm sure for all those games, most of them are sold on the Xbox.
It was, it was the majority were 360. So it just kind of illustrates how important the 360 is to third parties.
Right, and I think we can talk about that in more detail when we get onto our Xbox 360
for America. Yes.
Yeah, instead of it's just the number 4, not FOR, kind of like Left 4 Dead or Step Up to the Streets, which I finally seen.
Yes, he has.
Okay. All right, so new Xbox Experience, which I think should have been spelled X-P-E-R-I-E-N-C or whatever, however you spell experience.
Sure.
X, and it should have been like a big X and then experience.
They should have just called it Longhorn.
That was Vista, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so you turn on your Xbox and then the new Experience downloads.
Very quickly, might add.
Yes.
God, how long did it take? Like 4 or 5 minutes, maybe, on mine altogether. And it's basically installing a whole new operating system.
Much faster than the PS3 does to do anything.
Yes.
Or even the PSP. Yeah, it's actually faster than a PSP firmware upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah, the PS3 is a freaking joke when it comes to that stuff. I'm sorry.
Don't forget the Wii updating. Do not turn the power off.
I mean, the PS3.
It was on the screen so long we came up with a song for it.
Yeah. Well, and this kind of goes back to the thing I've mentioned before, where it's like, Microsoft is a software company. They know how to deploy software to a large number of, systems, whatever, and it really shows with things like this where Sony and Nintendo are still learning, basically.
Okay, so let's do it this way. Let's talk about...
what we like about it.
What we like, what we each like about it a lot, and what we don't like about it. Each person, kind of. So
nice.
Why don't you start with what you like?
Oh, what do I like about it? My number one thing I like about it is its speed. It is so fast compared to the old dashboard. It's ridiculous. Like, just scrolling through your games, or if you want to change a theme, like on the old dashboard, which I actually liked the old dashboard a lot, and I was kind of skeptical of this new Xbox experience, but I really like it. But in the old dashboard, you would go to, choose a new theme. You'd go in, click on themes, then it would usually take, 20-some seconds to populate the list of themes. And then once you did that, you'd kind of scroll through them, and then it would kind of, like, chug going through them. And then you'd click on one, it would chug for a few seconds. and yada, yada, yada. This new one, it's like, you just go in, click on it, bam, all the themes you have come right up, and they're all the same themes I had before. So it's not like there's less of them or anything like that. And you scroll through them, and they automatically, you know, refresh on the screen. It's, you know, like instantaneous, basically. And there's a lot of other things speed-wise, like populating your arcade games list is, again, very fast.
Oh, yes. I was just going to ask. Yes, I mean, changing themes is obviously important, but it's not something you do every day.
It's not something you do every day, yeah. But
so the other stuff?
But yeah, like the arcade game list, that loads just like the themes do. It's just, boom, pops right up.
Yeah, notice the first day, some of the stuff, you know, it wouldn't show up, or you'd say you cannot connect error, but, I mean, that's to be expected.
And that was like the marketplace, actually, though.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's like my number one thing is the speed. Other things they did that I like is they made it where you can remove zero gamer score games from your achievement or games played list.
Well, here's a question. Did you have an achievement in Yaris?
I did, unfortunately, so it will forever be on my gamer profile. But, yeah, that was something I liked. I was able to remove, like, 58 games altogether from my list that way, because it would put, like, if you downloaded a trial arcade game and played it, it would put it in your games played list, which never made any sense, because it's like, I didn't buy this,
yeah,
so I can't get achievements in it, and now they made it where you can actually get rid of those.
Cool.
So yeah, things like that are cool. Installing to the hard drive is useful on some games. Its probably best benefit is that you don't have to listen to the barn fan CD drive anymore.
Okay. Anything else?
Like that. I know there's other things, but I'm like forgetting them right now. So maybe when you talk about yours, it'll jog my memory.
Hmm. Okay. All right. What I like about the Xbox experience, that's how I'm going to always say it until the end of time. It's kind of like effervescence. Or Avril Lavigne.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Anyway. Game installs. I'd say that's probably my favorite thing. I've only installed a couple, but yeah, I don't know if there's even really that much of a speed increase, but just the fact that it's so much quieter. The first game I installed was Fallout 3, which I've been playing the hell out of. And I installed it, and once I ran the game, I mean, I guess it must access the DVD to like make sure you have it in there, because
yeah,
you have to, but it must do that very briefly, because it's just...
Yeah, you just got to hear a little vrr, and then it's like gone.
Yeah, and then all you have is the sound of silence. I mean, you hear the system fan, but that's not really that loud.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, yeah, you've got a video game going, and usually it's noisy or whatever, but you certainly, it's a ton quieter, because
yeah,
I've ran the DVD drive of the Xbox open before, like with that Pelican case I've been working on. That's good. I'm rebuilding like the whole drive mechanism thing, and and I was testing that the other day, and I was running it with the disk drive open, and yes, I should show that to you sometime, because it's just, it's scary how fast it spins, and you can see why it's so loud. But
yeah,
so I think, you know, I think not so much. Yeah, not really the load speed's improving, because I think that's negligible.
Yeah, for most games, I think it is. I mean, your mileage seems to vary with that. Like, I've installed a few games. I haven't played all of them in great detail, but the one of the four I installed, Bully, I saw a huge improvement in load times with that. Because before, it was almost like a pain in the ass to play it, because you'd go into a building and it would load for like 5 to 10 seconds.
Maybe because it was a PS2 port.
Yeah, where now it's like just a couple seconds and bam, you're going again. And I heard like Forza 2, it'll improve load times up to 50% on some of the tracks, which is pretty significant.
Well, it probably depends on like how the game works. I mean, I bet if you were playing Rock Band and you were playing an installed version of Rock Band, and then it was playing downloaded games.
Yeah, it won't make...
Yeah, I'd have to go, like, one part of the disc to get the ISO of the disc data, and then had to go back over here to get the DLC, and... Or like they say with the Halo 3, if you install that, it's actually slower.
Yeah, because they designed it to actually cache maps off of the disc onto the hard drive, and it isn't aware of the fact that it's now on the hard drive, so it will still do that whole caching process.
Right, so you have the read head of the hard drive having to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly it's quieter, and I'm sure kind of a left-handed secret achievement to that is it will cause people's DVD drives to fail less.
Yeah, I'm 100% certain that that was Microsoft's reason to incorporate that into the 360. I don't think... Because like I was telling you the other day, I don't remember ever going on a forum anywhere and seeing people screaming, saying, I want to be able to install my games on the hard drive. Never once did I see that. So I pretty much think it was a self-serving move, but it benefits us at the same time. So it's,
yeah,
you know, what the hell?
Well, I mean, I have a 120 gig hard drive, and I don't fill it up with crap, so why not?
Yeah, that's the thing. It actually, the disk installing games to the hard drive actually kind of validates the existence of the Elite a little bit now.
And it takes like, what, 5 minutes to install?
Some
games.
You must
just dump the ISO.
Like, God, I don't know, Gears 2 or something, when I did it took it like 11 or 12 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice!
But again, not every game, you know, is filling up the entire DVD. So, where some probably do. We're pretty close, anyway.
What was I going to say?
Probably something else you like about it.
Oh, yes. What else do I like about it? Actually, that's about it.
Yeah.
So, how about we move into what I dislike about it?
Okay.
Okay. I hate the fact that you can't see what's to the left of what you have selected. That's just dumb.
I don't understand that whole thing. You brought it up the other day, and I'm like, it says right down there that you're on selection 5 of 69.
I know,
go to the goddamn left if you want to look at
it. Like, let's say you got your avatar or whatever. Actually, I think the avatars are kind of cool. I don't mind them. But the options are very limited compared to the me. As are the shirt colors. You've got your icon and whatever, like the highlighted icon, and then you see, like, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 icons to the right of what else you can look at, and you look at those, but you can't see what's to the left.
So would you rather they just had it where you start out in the middle of the screen
and it would
and
rotate
you got
around
shit on
it?
The left and right?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then you could see what's to the left and right, kind of like the cover flow view in
who
my iPod
it,
that I never used.
Who gives a shit what's to the left?
Well, why do people give a shit what's to the right?
Because we're Americans and we go left to right when we read. It's just like a goddamn book. I bet if you have an Xbox in China, it probably goes right to left. I don't know that for a fact. I could be completely wrong, but
I'm sure there's some reason they did it. It's probably because of
the left to right thing. I mean, why not?
It just seems weird to me, but I don't know. Let's see, what else pisses me off about the dashboard? It's 98% advertisements. Like, every time I turn on my Xbox, it's like, lips!
That's one thing that would be nice, is if you could, maybe there is a way, I haven't really dug around, but it'd be nice if there was a way to set which, I don't know if you call them blades anymore, but whatever.
The boot blade?
Set which one it starts on.
Because right now, it start on Marketplace, or?
It starts on, like, Spotlight.
All I know is it's always lips.
Because I'd rather have it start on my Xbox.
Yeah, it is cool. Oh, the non-auto start with disk insert.
Yeah, that was one of the things I'd forgotten. I love that feature, and it's such a little thing too.
Oh, I know, because a lot of times I'll be like looking at shit on the blades or the right tiles or whatever you want to call them, and I don't want to play the game right away.
Yeah.
And so.
But anyway, the great thing about that is I don't know how many times I've sat there and had the DVD drive open on my 360 with a game sitting in it while I've been navigating around on the dashboard doing different things, because I don't want the game to boot just then. I'm planning on playing it in, 10, 15 minutes, whatever. And so I leave the disc tray just sitting there open, where now that's no longer a problem. You can just close it, and if you have that auto start disabled, it just sits there and waits for you to fire it up, which, great feature. That's probably one of my favorite things, actually, and it's such a trivial thing, but it's really great.
Well, you can do that in Windows, right? Like when you insert like a thumb drive or a CD, you can tell it not to pop up and annoy you.
Yep.
So let me just finish up. I guess I don't really mind the ads. It's like they're everywhere and they're kind of integrated, but that's part of their synergy.
They did do a good job of integrating them for the most part, I'd have to say.
Yeah, it's pretty seamless, which is pretty clever. And yeah, I like the fact where you can like look at all the achievements, and it's really quick.
Yeah.
And they have like a bar graph of how many achievements you have per game, and yeah. So I would say pretty much, yeah, the thing I'm gaga about is game installs. I think that's cool. I don't like how it goes right to left, even though that's the way we read, I don't care.
You mean left to right?
Whatever. And everything else is pretty cool and fine with me, I don't care.
Yeah, it's Yeah, I really don't have a lot of negatives about it, I don't think, which kind of surprised me.
That's good, because we should move on soon.
Ah, screw that. So, anyway, one thing that it's kind of a plus and a minus is like the Netflix thing. It was something I was really excited about, and it works really slick and really nicely and everything, but when you have a big-ass TV like I've got, most of the streaming content they have is just SD, and it looks kind of shitty. The HD stuff they've got to stream looks really, you know, pretty good. It basically looks as good as HD cable. And it looks pretty much the same. I watched Office episodes on there, and I've watched them on HD cable, and they were pretty much the same. And, you know, that stuff looks fine, that looks great, but they have a very limited selection of HD stuff right now. So for people that have, you know, nice, good-size HD TVs, the Netflix thing's kind of a, I don't know, I'd say I wouldn't bother with it if that was your sole reason for getting Netflix was to streaming.
Well, I mean, it's the same problem you have with large TVs with cable. I mean, the non-HD, just a regular standard def cable channels blown up to a big TV pretty much look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't help that, you know, they're compressed up the ass as it is, but...
Yeah.
The HD cable looks fine, but yeah, like here, like what do we have, like 15 HD channels? Or
yeah.
I know they added like Smithsonian, some other bullshit that I'll never watch. But well, Discovery's in HD, so that's enough for me.
But yeah, then you got Avatars, which I guess they're okay. I don't really feel one way or the other about them. I think they'd be more interesting if, you know, like you said, they weren't as limited right now. I've read stuff online where supposedly every few weeks they're supposed to be, like, adding new clothing and stuff, and I don't know if all of that's gonna be, you know, where you gotta pay for it, or some of it will be free. But yeah, right now they're pretty limited. I mean, there's, like, two suits you can put on your character, and then there's, you know, a handful of shirts and stuff like that. I mean, it's pretty sparse.
The shoe selection is pretty sparse. I don't know if for the female characters if there's more... I mean, you think there'd need to be about, like, what, 20 pages for female characters?
But, yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, the avatars are okay. I mean, I could take them or leave them, really. They don't do much for me, but whatever.
Yeah, I thought it was fun, but I don't care. I don't, like, you know, do any sort of friends crap or multiplayer stuff on Xbox anyway, so what do I care?
It is kind of funny when you're on, like...
Oh, I don't like scrolling through all the friends with, like, the avatars. I know you can still do it with the pop-up menu, but it's kind of slow. Like, you have to...
Yeah, but...
I should just delete some of the people, because, again, who cares?
Yeah, there you go.
Kind of like on Facebook. It's fun, like, yeah, no, ignore. I don't know who you are. It's nothing personal.
Yeah, it's like, do me the service of sending me an actual message, you know, if you want me to friend you.
Yeah,
that's kind of my policy. If somebody just sends me something and doesn't preface it in any way, it's like, who the hell are you? And
I don't have anything against like people I don't know in real life. It's just Facebook is a lot more useful. Like when I had like MySpace briefly, I think I had like MySpace Power Supply Rock Band page or whatever, and hey, I had all these people, I didn't know them, and it's like useless. But Facebook, like pretty much everybody that I have on my Facebook is someone I actually know, and it's just a lot better that way.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on to Xboxes for America, the number 4. Okay, I will start. Okay, so the big thing now is, like, America or the economy is going in the toilet, right?
Yes.
And, you know, obviously the solution is to, like, print money. I think, what's the current number, $2 trillion or something?
Yeah, they're getting there pretty fast.
Yes, because obviously the way to help American industry is to create 2.5 million government jobs.
And devalue the dollar in the process. Anyway, Xbox for America.
Right. think about this, if you're driving around a Toyota and you're saying, oh, we have to help American auto industries, well, maybe you should, you know, buy, well, at least have a Toyota that's made in America, or a Ford or a GM.
Yeah.
And as we get onto the game consoles, if you have to buy a game console this year, and if you're an American, and if you want to help America, buy an Xbox. Okay, they're made in China, but the company is an American company.
Yep, and the other two are, you know, made in Japan and China as well, and they're both Japanese companies.
And here's the real kicker. It's, the console's one thing, and yeah, some money will go back to Microsoft, an American company, and a successful one, because it's still possible.
Yes.
You just have to... I won't even get into that.
But here comes the better part.
Here comes the better part. Xbox 360...
Trickle down.
Well, yeah, trickle down, but Xbox 360 has the highest attach rate of games, because it has all the best games, and... The vast majority of them are made in America.
Yes. Oh, that's right. We were going to make, like, a list of all these games, and we didn't get around to doing that.
Well, I know, because...
That's okay. We know a bunch anyway.
Yeah. So, okay, maybe the DVD itself is manufactured in Mexico or something, but, you know, even these days, like, North America is like, we'll take it.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
sadly enough.
You have this $10 million game or this $20 million game or whatever, and tons of them are made in America.
Yeah.
I mean... But then if you have the Wii, Wii Fit, all that stuff, it's all from Japan. You're not helping America. So if you really care about America and you want a game console, and it's the best console anyway, buy a frickin' Xbox.
Yep. Yeah, because you got, like, Gears of War is made in, like, North Carolina.
Yep.
Grand
Fallout 3 is made in Maryland.
You know, a lot of these games, like...
All the Electronic Arts stuff, most of that's made in America.
Like, the Call of Duties,
well.
Like the Treyarch and
Dead Space.
Infinity Ward.
Yep, that's
all
in America.
Guitar
Hero. And these are all the big hit
big
games,
too.
Big
games, too, yeah. It's not, like, you know, little shit. And
right.
Then, like, right here in Madison, we have Raven, which makes, like, the X-Men Legends and now the Marvel Ultimate Alliance
Quake
games.
4 and Prey was made by Human Head here in Madison.
Yep. And, you know, there's many, many more that are out there that have been made in this country and continue to be made here, and they're all American companies.
Yeah, so don't go to the store and buy a Wii and then cry on the radio on your way home when you're listening to all the economic doom.
Yeah.
Buy American. It's not rocket science. But the point is, it is getting really hard to buy American. Okay,
disclaimer
preface. I have two products that are made in China.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Okay, I had to put that in there. I'm not.
Yes.
My point is, like, I was at Farm and Fleet a couple weeks ago working on Hell Cabinet, which is something that's be on my site pretty soon. Anyway, I needed a paint scraper. I needed a paint scraper, and I could not find one that was made in America. So I'm like, whatever, I'll buy a Chinese one. But then I saw a Speed Square, and I'm not going to describe what it is because you should know what it is. Anyway, I was like, oh my God, made in America. Oh my God, made in Wisconsin. I don't even need this, but I'm going to buy it.
Well, you know? It was like that day I needed, we had like a clogged drain or whatever, and I went to Menards, and I found this thing that you stick down in the drain and you twist it around. It's got like all these barbs on it, and it'll like yank the hair out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, made in the USA. So I bought... that one, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to throw it away, and if I ever need another one, I'll buy another one.
Yes!
If it were some Chinese piece of crap, well, it probably would have broke, first of all. But then second of all, I would have just kept it, because screw them.
Right.
I am isolationist, man.
Well, you know, we've talked about, I know, day-to-day conversations with our friends and whatnot.
Yeah.
The American car thing comes up a lot, and I don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
But, you know, like let's like a lot of Toyotas, or like not your Matrix, your Vibe or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, even like when you have a Toyota making a car in America, yeah, that the jobs are here, but guess where all the profit goes? It goes back overseas.
Yeah, and whereas, a lot of their parts come from overseas still as well. So.
Right. So, yes, I mean, basically, if you care about America and economy and you buy a Wii, you're a traitor. What?
Yes!
Seriously, you cannot bitch about shit.
Oh, yeah.
And then say, oh, I don't want an Xbox. I'm going to buy this Japanese console. I mean, like, I it's not just because I'm against Nintendo, even though I am. I mean, I have, like, a DS and all this. But I'm just saying, think about this kind of stuff. You want to help American and American businesses buy an Xbox for Christmas. And they're easy to get. They don't have an artificial shortage like the Wii does.
Yep.
And, like, the Wii Fit, if you want a Wii Fit... Guess what? You can use your own floor to do things without paying Nintendo $100 for the privilege.
Well, it's just the old thing, you know, don't bitch, act, you know, do something about it.
What was that bumper sticker I came up with? If you don't buy American, don't complain.
Exactly. You actually need to make that.
Well, the problem...
We talked about it like 2 months ago.
Yeah, another big problem is people, they want to bitch about the problem, but they don't want to do
anything
themselves.
Be a part of the solution.
Like, if we talk about, like energy and economy and whatnot, it's like, oh, yeah, we should build more wind farms. I'm going to leave my computer on 24 hours a day and play Xbox on my dishwasher.
Well, or, you know, a nuclear power plant, but, you know, not in my backyard. Good old NIMBY, you know.
Okay, so here you go. If you, but okay, so disregarding economic ruin, if, yeah, if you want, if your kids or you want a video game console this Christmas, like, just go and buy an Xbox. It is the best way to keep most of your money in America. Like Rock Band. Yep. You can buy Rock Band. Yep. Of course, yeah, it's for the Wii, but it was made in America. Guitar Hero was made in America.
Yeah.
But and, of course, yeah, the plastic guitars and shit aren't made in America.
Yeah.
But the lion's share of the game's budget, like, you know, these games, these aren't cheap games. It's just like $10 million to make a big game these days.
Yeah.
And get that all that money, it's in America. You're like, you know, you're like paying for programmers and artists and whatnot in our own country. So it's harder and harder to buy things that are made in America. Like, most movies aren't even made in America anymore.
Yeah.
American movies aren't made in America. They're starting to be now. They're bringing them back with the tax breaks. But I think it's simple logic, you know. Yeah. Don't bitch about our economy going down the toilet and us not having any manufacturing and then go buy, like, Japanese stuff. I mean, yeah, I have a Japanese television, but I also have an Xbox.
Well, do they even have... Can you even buy a goddamn American-made TV anymore?
Okay, that's... Right, but...
I mean, that's the problem there, you know, is it's like, I would, you know, love to buy an American-made TV, but Zenith died off years ago, didn't they? They're not around anymore. Or
well,
if they are,
if they
they're probably
are,
a shell
sure
of themselves.
Yeah.
But,
I know, this sounds kind of radical to say it, but I mean, I don't think... I mean, it's not rocket science.
No.
You want to help America? Buy things made in America. And video games are great. This video game industry is, like, doing great. It's having no... I mean, it's totally recession-proof. So if people are going to still buy video games, yeah, screw all this Nintendo garbage that anyone that hasn't played the Wii, you'll play it, and you might like it forever, but most people, you'll play it and then never play it again.
Yeah. I
just wish people would understand the truth.
Well, and a lot of the electronics industry is a nice, you know, cautionary tale for these things, you know, because you look at TVs and VCRs and things like that, or DVD players, I guess, now, you know, and whatever. It's like, you can't buy one that's made in this goddamn country.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, that want to see the American auto industry die or whatever, and it's like, well, eventually it'll be the same goddamn thing with that, too. You wouldn't be able to buy a freaking American-made vehicle. And whatever.
Well, there'll be a point in our country where there's only two kinds of jobs, government jobs and healthcare. Oh, shit, I just said that, too, didn't I?
And then we'll get in a war someday, and we won't have any manufacturing base left, and we'll be fucked.
It doesn't matter. When we eventually go to war with China, all they'll do is dump our debt, and bam, we'll be done. But that's what'll happen.
Yeah.
At least we won't get into a nuclear war with China like in Fallout 3. Okay, yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, video games is something that everybody still buys, and it's very easy to spend your money on American video games.
Yeah.
So you should, you know, look into it. I mean, if you really care about our nation's economy, you should look into it. Like, okay, Gears of War was made in America, and if you want all the cutesy Nintendo shit, that's fine, but, you know, it's all shit, and you might as well, you know, spend your money on American shit. You know, EA, Epic, Microsoft...
Yep.
There. I don't know what else I can
Activision.
Say about it, but...
Yep.
Okay, if you live in other countries, I mean, who cares? Do whatever you want. But this is a message for America.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can't sit there and moan and whine and, like, tear at our faces like Jody did in Possumus Woman. And then... Or like Apple stuff. Oh, great. You know, it's an American company.
It's an American company.
Microsoft, American company. Dell. I mean, all that's great. And, you know, designed in California, made in China. Yeah, but at least the profits from it are going back to America.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, Xbox, you can actually get one. It doesn't have an artificial shortage like the Wii. Yes, it's an artificial shortage. And
they even had a great deal on Tiger Direct on the 20 gig for like 3 days this past week, and it was like $150 for the 20 gig 360.
It's a no-brainer. And yeah, the media spreads things about the failure rates of them. But, you know, even if it does fail, Microsoft has got great customer service, and they'll hook you up.
Yeah, so it took, what, like less than 10 days for you to get your refurb or right around 10 days?
Now, there's all sorts of things we could sit here and tell people they should buy American, like cars, etc.
Oh, yeah.
But primarily we talk about video games, and obviously that's primarily the stuff that I do or I've been known for. So I'm just putting my 2 cents in is like, buy American if you can.
Well, and the great thing about the video game industry is it's one that's actually growing in this country instead of like contracting like everything else is. And, you know, it's support that and support
these,
you know, publishers and developers and everybody else. You know, these are all American jobs, and
especially in a time where like Hollywood is going to strike again, apparently.
What What a bunch of goddamn morons. Well, they are on a different planet.
The SAG has to vote. The members have to vote.
The leadership wants to strike, though. But yeah, hopefully the members will be like, we're pretty much, you know, in a recession.
Even though Hollywood's having a record year.
In tatters. And, you know, we're basically a recession-proof industry. Maybe we shouldn't strike.
Yeah, and the Writers Guild and the Directors Guild both got their deals. I mean, the Directors Guild didn't even strike.
Yeah, they were smart enough to just go, you know what? It's pretty pointless. We'll just take the same deal that the writers got pretty much.
All they're going to do is they're going to lose more of their jobs to reality TV show writers, video games, and I know that's off subject, but yeah. But, okay, I don't know. I mean, we should probably move on to our third topic, which is Blu-ray, but I know. Yeah, I mean, I know it sounds a little harsh to say, you know, if you know, buy Nintendo stuff.
What's the goddamn truth? At a certain point, you just have to hold somebody up to the goddamn mirror and say, look at what you're doing. And
right, because the biggest single problem in America is Americans.
Mm-hmm.
There, I just said that. There goes my presidential chances.
And, well, you might get the independent vote.
And their problem is that nothing is ever their fault.
Yes.
Housing market collapses. Oh, I can't afford my house. Oh, it's not my fault. It's predatory lending, or it's the big bank CEOs. It's like, no, you signed the papers. It's your fault.
Or your kid goes and shoots somebody. Oh, you know, it's the video games or the, you know, music industry or movies. Never bad parenting.
Yeah, or, you know, the fact that you, you know, basically raised your kids by sitting them in front of the boob tube.
Yes.
Well, if technically, yeah, I suppose you could say, yeah, they're influenced by that, but guess what?
But it was the bad parenting that brought that about, so...
Girl, let's see, what's another common thing that Americans never blame themselves for?
Well, they never blame themselves for anything, I don't
think. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, okay, so...
You know, you get in a car accident, it's always, you know, some other jackass pulled in front of you. It was never, you know, you were screwing around with your cell phone trying to text somebody or whatever.
Yeah, see, what else is never anyone's fault?
Well, like lung cancer, you know, all those people, they went and, you know, blamed the tobacco companies
and the predatory advertising.
Yes, you know, it's like, gee, wow, you mean sucking on something that has smoke coming out of it is bad for me?
Oh, but they made it addictive.
Ugh.
You know what else is addictive? Fast food, and it'll kill you.
Yes, there's a lot of things that are addictive. Caffeine's addictive.
Oh, it sure is. But, yeah, I guess, you know, yeah.
And you got to kind of pick your
You have
your
the choice
battles,
to buy American video games. Do it.
Yeah,
and they're the best games, too.
And, I mean, the thing is, you know, like with this, it's got the, you know, great trickle-down effect, you know, where all these publishers are, you know, mostly American and all. That's like, yes, you know, like what we said, you know, the Xbox is made in China and whatever, but at least it's an American company. And sometimes, you know, it's like, basically, you got to look at it like, well, what are my choices in the video game industry? I can buy a Japanese-made PS3 from a Japanese company, or I could buy like a Chinese-made Wii from a Japanese company, or I could buy a Chinese-made Xbox from an American company. It's like, well,
yeah, take what you can
at
get.
At least there's an American something in there.
Well, what happens so much is I think people just give up. They're like, oh,
yeah.
I have no responsibility in this economic crisis, even though I love to shop at Walmart and buy Chinese shit because it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
So why bother even trying to do anything?
Yeah.
But people are going to have to bother to do something. The government can't do it for us. All they're going to do is waste all
mortgage
our grandchildren's
our
money. I mean, our grandchildren are going to be fucking broke.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why. Here's another bumper sticker. Don't bother saving the planet. Our kids will be too poor to enjoy it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it starts all this shit, like energy conservation and economic shit, it all starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of our video game podcast, it starts with you going and buying an American console, the Xbox 360. Microsoft does not pay me anything to say this.
Nope.
It's just the way I feel. I mean, come on. Help. A big ticket item. Video games are still big and huge and not affected by the recession.
Yep.
If you want to buy a video game system, buy an American one. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah.
And if
damn
you and you're like, oh well, my kids want a Wii and blah blah blah. And, well, just think about, like, you know, in 20 years when your kids grow up, and we probably have like $50 trillion in national debt, and yeah.
Yep.
I just feel very strongly about it.
No, I do, too. I'm a very pro-American person.
Yeah, because the thing is, you know, people go, oh, with loss of American manufacturing. It's like, this is not beyond your control.
Yeah.
You can choose what to buy. Okay, maybe you might have to look really hard to find an American-made paint scraper, and I failed. But still, you can try.
And maybe it will cost, you know, 50 cents or a dollar more or whatever, but, you know, at the end of the day, what's that 50 cents or a dollar really worth? You know, it's like you would have pissed it away on a, you know, vending machine or something, you know, whatever. It's just like,
yeah.
Support American businesses whenever possible.
And it's very easy to do because Xbox is the best console with the most games and the best games, and most of them are made in America. Including Fallout 3, which we should talk about at some point in this podcast.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, let's... Well, actually, why don't we talk about that, because it's, you know, kind of on the same topic, and then we'll get into Blu-ray versus theaters.
Very, very well.
Yes! You know, people are probably going to think I'm, like, some sort of whack over saying all this stuff, but...
I don't think so.
What? It's the frickin' truth! It's not rocket science, people! My favorite saying.
Yeah. It's just nice to be able to say it, because it's like, you know, usually everything's so PC and crap, and it's like...
Well, the politicians always have to blame, like, rich people or...
Yeah.
See, they basically have to blame, like, nameless entities. They, you know, they can't just, you know, Barack Obama can't, like, point at the screen and say, America, it's all your fault. Even though it is,
yeah.
But he can't say that because he has to get elected.
He thinks it, probably.
Well,
but, yeah, he
it's
can't say
obvious.
It.
They all know it's true, but, you know, they have to get votes.
Yeah.
Oh, well. There goes my chances for running for president in 2012. I think I'd technically be old enough. Was it 37, 36?
35.
Oh, hell, yeah. I'd be like 37.
Yeah, gold.
Yep.
I could sneak in. I could be your VP.
Yes! You betcha! There's discuss below. Would you like Ben and Jones to run for presidents? We are pro-manufacturing.
Yes. Anybody who has a job that's dependent on a company in this country would probably vote for us, or they should.
I think if I ever got that TV show, I would want to install vocational aptitude and interest in America's youth. Because right now, you know, nothing personal, but all kids just want to grow up and use computers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
This country was not built with a fucking computer. It was built with, like, Paul Revere and roosters and guns and bricks. But think about it. Yeah. Like, right now, you've got all these, like, a big demand industry is CNC machinists and machinists. The people that are doing it are all retiring and getting old, and the young kids aren't wanting to get into it.
Yeah.
They should. I mean, it's a great career. You can make plenty of money, and you get to build things with your hands in America.
Yep. Get and in there.
If you're just typing at a computer, guess what? That can be outsourced.
Yeah.
But like people that, or if you can build a building, you can't outsource the building of a building to another country. Well, not yet. But it's good to build things, because that's what's important.
Very well.
Okay. I just have very strong feelings about that sort of stuff.
Well, I work for a company that
builds
distributes
things.
Products that are made in this country.
Yes!
So...
You should obviously run for vice president.
At least I do that much.
Yeah! Yeah.
They make, like, the cookware and stuff, like, in Pennsylvania, I think, is where the manufacturing plant is, where they make, like, all the pots and pans and stuff like that, so pretty sweet.
Yep. Maybe you should plug it.
It's called Royal Prestige Cookware. So, if you want, like, fancy, high-priced cookware, get in there.
Because
buy
the
some
money,
for your mom or something.
The money will go toward Pennsylvania and Jones.
Yes, and who wouldn't want to support me?
I'm 1950s man.
I am an American.
Yeah, there's just not enough rampant capitalism in the world. I know that goes against everything that they're talking about in Washington these days, but...
Yeah.
All that matters is money and industry. It's all that matters. And
yeah, it's not
Well, we're seeing that now.
Yeah.
I mean, like, look at the summer. Like, remember the summer? All the commercials on television were about going green.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, and then, like, some woman would, like, be walking outside eating, like, Yoplait yogurt and, like, dancing on butterflies and, like, a hybrid car behind her. Then, like, a light switch. As soon as, like, you know, the economy started going bad, all that shit was gone. And now it's, like, save money at Walmart and save money and save money and save money. And it's like, That's all that really matters.
Yep.
I mean, just look at gas prices. I mean, now that gas is cheap again, no one gives a shit.
Oh, yeah.
They should, but they don't.
Yeah, they don't. People have such short, attention spans for that crap.
Well, I shouldn't even get into that. My plan to get rid of SUVs. I have a great plan. I don't think anyone would vote for it.
I would. I've hated SUVs for about 15 years.
Okay, well, so. This can be part of our presidential bids.
Yeah, here we go.
If I was a president, this is how I would get rid of SUVs and not get votes. I would treat SUV owners like smokers. Now, think about it. Let's say there's a parking ramp. If you got an SUV, you have to park on the top ramp.
Yep.
It's completely unfair. It's completely unconstitutional. But so is everything else our government does these days. So who cares?
There you go.
If you're an SUV owner, you should pay more for gas for no apparent reason. It's like a pack of cigarettes should not cost $5, but it does.
Well, you should get hit with the gas guzzler tax, too.
Yes, they should be classified as cars.
Yep. It should be no different. They use the same amount of gas as a goddamn, high-performance, fire-breathing V8 sports car.
No one should be allowed to drive an SUV in a television or movie. Think about it. Do you see anyone on television smoke unless they're, like, a bad guy?
True.
Do you see anyone in a movie smoke unless they're a bad guy? Or maybe like a comedic character?
Well, yeah, they have to be Eastern European generally to smoke.
They talk about how Hollywood glamorized smoking back in the day and how that hurt, caused people to smoke. Like, look at movies. You see Jack Bauer or whoever driving around in a big-ass SUV, or you see someone in a Dodge truck chasing tornadoes.
Well,
it encourages people to buy this shit.
Well, the big thing that helped Cadillac at the early part of this decade was the Escalade. And it was in all these rap videos and all these, athletes
the
were
Matrix
driving
movies.
Around in them and stuff like that. And so kids were like, wow, that thing's cool.
Right.
And all that. It's like bling and all this shit. And
So the way to get rid of them is to basically shame the owners into getting rid of them, just like we do with smoking.
There you go.
And now someone will say, but smoking's bad for you. It's like, guess what? Tens and millions of SUVs in the road
is bad
for us.
It's bad for all of us.
Yeah. And, actually, an SUV exhales more carbon dioxide than, an army of smokers.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about that.
Oh, no.
And so I'm just saying, if you're gonna ostracize a choice that people make, like smoking, why not ostracize another choice that people make, SUVs?
Well, it's because it would impact them. Again, no sacrifice when it involves yourself.
I mean, no one would ever go for this, but it would work.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god, I've got to park at the top of the ramp, or I've got to, let's say you're at Walmart. If you drive an SUV, you have to park at the far end of the ramp, or the lot, and you have to walk all the way over. Why? Because you do.
Yep.
Because we don't want the fumes from your SUV to be in the front of the store, just to make up some bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at the Richmond Hospital, they got this thing outside the hospital, it looks like a bomb shelter. It's actually where you have to go to smoke.
Really?
You have to go inside this little, enclosed glass thing out in the parking lot.
It's like a death pod.
Yeah, it's not like in the 50s where the doctor would be smoking while giving you a liver bypass.
Yep. Have the nurse hold a cigarette for him.
So, I mean, there you go. That's how we get them off the road.
Yep.
It's not fair, but, who cares? That's the way that things work these days, I guess.
Well, see, that's why I was a big fan of high gas prices. I'm kind of sad in some ways that they've gone down.
Yep, because now no one will care.
I was like, it's like I said, a year or two ago, it's like the best thing that could happen to this country for the long term is for gas to go up to like $5 a gallon. It's like, yeah, it would suck in the short term, but long term, people would be buying more fuel-efficient vehicles.
We'd
become less dependent
on hopefully
people
realize it'll... I don't think it'll go back up that high next summer, but it'll certainly go up.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly a lot of people have lost a lot of money on gas futures, I'm sure.
Good. Fuck them.
So yeah, there's my political plan is that how to get rid of SUVs. Tune in next week.
Nice. Well, I hate SUVs, so I'm behind any platform that gets rid of them. And I have always thought it's bullshit they don't get hit with a gas guzzler tax just because they're classified as a truck, even though 90% of the people that have the goddamn things use them just like a car.
Yep. Well, let's say you're driving an SUV down the road and you hit a smaller car. You have unfairly hurt them, just like secondhand smoke.
That's right.
Actually, yeah, I'm just going to come out and say this. It's actually more dangerous than secondhand smoke. It's like bam, you're dead.
Yeah, probably more people die each year from car accidents than they do from secondhand smoke.
Oh, I'm sure they do. Well, think about it.
Not that every car accident involves an SUV, but...
You know, you can't hardly smoke anywhere now. I mean, a lot of... Well, bars you still can, but...
Well, in your basement, you can smoke.
Yeah, you have to choose to go to the bar, but everybody's on the road. Everybody's being endangered by these SUVs, and they're being endangered by the gas costs and the...
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm a fan of the banning cell phone usage in vehicles. It's like, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you got to draw a line somewhere, but I look at it that from that perspective where it's like... You know, I can choose not to go to a bar or whatever to inhale the secondhand smoke, but I have no choice when I go out on the road. I have to go out on the road to get to work. No other option. I have to do it 5 days a week, and there's some prick on their cell phone not paying attention. They blow a stoplight or whatever and hit me. I had absolutely no control over that situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Barack Obama could do that. They could make laws like that with SUVs. Actually, it should be a state level thing. But
it should be.
He won't because he would piss off all like the soccer moms.
Yep. Ugh.
Okay, let's move on.org. But yes, that's my first. That's what I'm going to do. When I'm president, this country's going to change. Everybody's going to have to wait for everything.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Wow. We kind of. Well, maybe I'll edit some of that down.
It's all right.
Do people still listen to our podcast? I mean.
I know some people do. I'll get messages every so often from people about it on, like, Xbox and stuff. So there's still people out there.
Maybe they like the fact that we get more, like, socially active and I don't know.
Well, I'm a fan of it. I have, like, no filter, so.
Okay, let's let's move on to Blu-ray versus the theater. Okay, so... You know, Walmart's always telling you, apparently Walmart's big thing to advertise this year is Blu-ray, in case anyone hasn't noticed. And, of course, cheap groceries.
It's like everybody's pushing Blu-ray, like Best Buy, Circuit City, all of them. It's like, yeah, okay, so the economy's in a downturn, and people are going to go out and buy a Blu-ray player for $400 and buy discs that cost at least twice as much as their DVDs. Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because we live in the Madison area, but when I go to the store, I definitely don't see, like, you know, tumbleweeds. It seems like people are still spending money.
Yeah, but I think overall, though, yeah, it's, I don't know, I think it's kind of funny.
Well, wait a minute. I was actually
reading an article about this the other day where they were talking about how this holiday season is almost kind of a make-or-break thing for Blu-ray because of a lot of the sort of considerations. Because they were planning on this being like a big holiday season, and now with the economy the way it is, it might not be so much so because, I mean, shit.
Come on. This is like last weekend. Like, frickin' Twilight made $70 million, and the other two movies made like 50-some. I mean, people are still spending money on entertainment.
Yeah, but I mean... Again, this is the thing where you have two options on the entertainment. You can go and buy, like when WALL-E came out, you could have bought like a $14 DVD of it probably, or the $27 Blu-ray. That's my point.
Okay, so
to go to the movie theater, you have to go to the movie theater.
Okay, so let's just hone in on that then. Well, okay, if apples to apples. If you like a movie, like... I bought Iron Man, I bought WALL-E on Blu-ray, and I love both those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll pay $26 to see it on Blu-ray, who cares?
Well, I know you will, but I'm just saying, our old friend Joe Sixpack out there.
Well, Joe Sixpack doesn't give a shit about video quality. He doesn't even know what a HDTV is.
Exactly, that's why you just go and buy, you know, the $13, $14 DVD when it comes out.
It is kind of funny, like, not even 10 years ago, we all thought DVD was a cat's ass, and now, like,
well, it was. It's just like, no, you know, Blu-ray's the hot shit. Someday that'll be old tech, you know?
I think we're still off subject. I guess... So, okay,
who
so...
gives a shit?
Blu-ray versus theater. Are we talking about cost or quality?
Quality. But...
Okay.
But if we got into talking about, you know, Blu-ray and advertising and whatnot, so that's where the cost thing came from. But anyway... Yes, I like in the HD DVD days when I first got my HD DVD player, I got the movie The Fountain on it, and I watched it, and I was like, holy shit, this looks like amazing, it sounds awesome, it's better than when I saw it in the theater, and I saw it in the theater twice. I mean, the picture quality was far superior and everything else, and I was just like, you know, holy shit, I didn't realize the movie could look this good, and it did. And then I haven't watched the WALL-E Blu-ray yet, but from what I've heard, it's basically the same sort of experience where it looks, you know, way superior to the theatrical release. And there's a lot of reasons for that, I'm sure. Like we talked about, you know, you have this guy getting paid dirt to run the projection booth, and they don't necessarily have it in focus all the time, or you know,
framed correctly,
and all that. Where the people that are mastering the Blu-ray, you know, they're fairly well-paid technicians that work for the company, and they give a shit, and they want it to look good, so it will sell good. So,
well, I thought that one, like when I saw Iron Man, I mean. Just like when I watched the credits, I distinctly remember, like, wow, this is in focus.
Yeah.
And you
it's
know,
rare actually when that happens.
Also, like when you have a projected image on a theater screen, it jitters as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's something obviously that doesn't happen with the Blu-ray or the DVD. But yeah. Well, like when I watched WALL-E, which yeah, so I've changed my mind again. It is the best movie of the year.
Oh,
it pisses all over Dark Knight. WALL-E goes up to the Dark Knight. He's like. And, like, pisses on him.
Yeah, WALL-E's been my number one since I saw it. Nothing
anyway,
has surpassed it.
WALL-E's babe, the white robot, Eve. Yeah. She has, like, panels that open or whatever. And in the theater, you know, you can see them when they open. But on the Blu-ray, you can actually see there's seams.
Like lines.
There's seams all over her, like where the panels are. And they're very faint, but you can see them. And I didn't notice that. I'm like, oh, my God, you can see the seams. And that, I guess that's a big thing I remembered, but yeah, I mean, just it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I guess that was the main thing I noticed, but yeah, it definitely made me think, wow, this is better than the theater. So, okay, since we basically just said that Blu-rays are better than the theater, yeah, maybe the resolution isn't as good, but the presentation of the resolution is better.
Yeah.
You know, you could have like a 4K picture, but if it's, you know, projected out of focus.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, then we might talk about IMAX, which I think is kind of a gimmick half the time. Like, ooh, we took a 35mm movie and blew it up to IMAX.
Yeah. Yeah, IMAX is only really cool when you go to see, like, the 3D movies, you know, where they were meant to be shown in that format. Then it can be pretty cool.
Well, like, I wonder, like, with Batman. Oh, yeah, that
Fish
was cool.
3D.
Fish 3D. Like, with the Batman, you know, like, The Batman. They filmed some scenes in IMAX,
yeah.
And I guess they're doing that with Transformers 2.
Oh, okay.
But I wonder if what that's like in IMAX. If the movie's
yeah,
like,
it's curious.
Like matted in scope or whatever that was in, and then all of a sudden it like fills a full frame and like the resolution's better. I mean,
yeah.
That might be kind of jarring. Like, why not? I'm sure there's a cost reason, but you know, why not just make the whole movie in IMAX?
I know Christopher Nolan actually said he'd like to make a whole movie in IMAX, but. There's a lot of issues with it because the cameras are so damn big. I guess they're, like, ridiculously noisy. Like, they have to have, like, a generator there and stuff, like, running them and crap,
oh.
I guess. It's like, he said he loves the format and would have loved to have just made Dark Knight in IMAX, but it
maybe just IMAX didn't lend will have better cameras now that IMAX is becoming more popular.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, it's
IMAX.
Interesting how in just the last few years it started to gain momentum for whatever reason.
But I actually think it's dumb when they just take a 35mm movie and blow it up and call it the IMAX experience.
Yeah.
It's like, why not just like put a DVD in your home television, like just sit with your nose up to the screen? I mean, really, there's no big difference.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's something like 3D, like Fish 3D or Space Station 3D, not fake 3D, like Harry Potter and the whatever
yeah,
of whatever.
That didn't work very well.
Space Station 3D was awesome.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Oh, of course, Avatar, I'm sure, would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it should
be
interesting.
Oh, but Beowulf.
Yeah, Beowulf was really cool in 3D. That wasn't even IMAX, but...
It wasn't?
Or was it?
It was at the IMAX theater.
It was at the IMAX theater, but yeah, you could go to like other theaters that weren't IMAX and see it in 3D. But yeah, that movie looked pretty cool in 3D, I have to admit.
Yeah. Well, apparently, like, John Favreau wanted to make Iron Man 2 in 3D IMAX, but it's just too expensive.
Yeah.
Because you'd have to render everything twice for one thing. Of course, if you're James Cameron, you're like, I don't care.
It's going to be funny when that movie comes out and it bombs.
You know, I...
Because probably will.
But it's not going to stop me from seeing it opening day.
Oh, I'll go see it, too, just because it's like, oh my god, Cameron finally made another goddamn movie. It's been over a
What's
decade
What's it about?
Now.
I don't care!
He He's like turned into Stanley Kubrick or Terrence Malick.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but that's okay.
Okay, so I guess our basic point is, you know, Blu-rays seem to be better than the theater, and, you know, people talk about, like, you see, like, people post online, it's like, oh, well, I don't like noisy kids with cell phones or babies at the theater.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's really a big problem. I hate, trailers.
I hate people kicking my goddamn chair.
Really?
That's why I usually do not go on an opening weekend, because no doubt, without fail, I'll sit there and get my chair kicked probably 6 to 10 times during the show.
Hmm, okay.
Just noise the piss
okay, so
out of
what
me.
Would you rather have? Like 7 trailers in front of a movie or no kicks?
I would take 7 trailers, which I had to experience Saturday, which sucked.
I'm telling you, Carasotti's has been doing that all year, ever since they changed.
I have never seen a movie with 7 trailers in front of it before, and I've gone to a lot of movies.
I don't know if it was Iron Man or something, and I counted it. Yeah, it was.
I've seen them with, 5, which is ridiculous enough, but the other night it was 7. They even had that goddamn Will Smith movie's trailer on twice, which I'm like, 2 times with 1 trailer? Give me a goddamn break.
Well, that's that makes, the whole show, probably, 20 minutes longer, too.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole... So that's one thing, another thing I don't like about going to the movies, it takes too long.
Yeah.
Because you have to get there ahead of time, then you have to sit there in the theater, then you have to watch all the fucking trailers, then you have to watch the goddamn movie, and then you have to, drive home. It just takes forever.
Well, the thing, too, with, a Blu-ray, too, if you're somebody who has a family, let's say, you're married and you got a couple kids, whatever, going to the movie is an expensive proposition. You're talking about, roughly $30 just to get the 4 of you into the theater, and that's before
right.
you decide to buy your popcorn and crap and whatever. Well, okay, you could have went and bought a Blu-ray for $25 to $30.
Actually, probably easily more than $30 if you had, a family of 4.
Well, I'm just talking about tickets. Probably, 30 to 35, whatever. Basically the cost of a Blu-ray, roughly. So, you have a Blu-ray. Well, guess what? You get to keep that. So, if you want to watch it, a month from now, you can watch it again. Also, you can sit in the comfort of your own home. You could go and pop a bag of microwave popcorn for,
a great price.
60 or 70 cents as opposed to, $4.50. And then you've got your soda or whatever refreshments. Or if you want to drink a beer, you can drink a beer. All those things. So it's, you start to look at, kind of the cost-benefit stuff when you're in that sort of situation, and it makes
Well, you already see that. I mean, there's a lot of people that, don't even go to the theaters. They just, get the disc.
Well, I know when I was married that I changed my movie-going habits significantly because we'd look at it, and it would be well, shit, we could just go out and buy a DVD for what it's going to cost us to go to the movie theater.
And even a Blu-ray
is... have something to keep that way.
A Blu-ray costs more than 2 tickets, but not that much more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, anymore, it's if you go to an evening showing, which I
just sell for $10, isn't it?
Yeah, it's $9.25, I think.
Yeah, actually, I can't remember the last time I went to an evening show, because it just cost too much. Or
I think I went for Dark Knight, but that was the last... That's the only time this year, I think, that I've gone to an evening showing. But it's I went to a matinee of Quantum of Solace on Saturday, and it was $6.25 for a freaking matinee. It's absurd.
I wonder if someday, if they just move to the model where there aren't even theaters anymore, you just download it, or...
Oh, I could see it happening
someday. I think one of the secret reasons they want digital projection is that you strike a bunch of copies of a movie, that's $10 million right there, just to make the prints.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, too, is...
And then it gets destroyed!
A lot of people, we're talking about, our setup at home is nicer than the movie theater, for the most part. I mean, we don't have, a big fancy surround sound system, but...
Well, I've got one right here on my computer for some reason.
I mean, there's a lot of people out there where they do have a better setup at home than the movie theater, and that's becoming more common as time goes by, and it will only become more and more common. And that's why you see them bringing 3D into the theaters. They're trying to come up with ways
much like the 50s.
Yeah, when they changed from standard formatting to, scope and widescreen.
What was the first widescreen movie?
I can't remember.
The Robe.
Oh, that's
right. Richard Burton.
Yeah.
And Gene Simmons.
But that was a big part of that in the 50s. That's why they changed the film format so they could say, oh, you get to see more in the theater, and then they brought out 3D and all this other crap. And
yeah, because the movies used to be in 4:3 Academy.
Yeah, and now they're doing the same sort of stuff again with the 3D and trying to give you a reason to have to go to the movie theater instead of just, you know, sitting around at home and watching
stuff. Well, I saw a lot of movies this summer, but I still think the Blu-ray looks better. That said, I don't think I'd buy a Blu-ray of a movie without seeing it. I mean, I do that. That's one of the reasons I don't own very many DVDs. It's like, I don't buy very many DVDs at all, and very rarely would I buy one I hadn't seen.
Yeah, what have you... You've got three Blu-rays, and I've got one, because I bought Get Smart a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and all my Blu-rays involve robots. I have Terminator 3, Iron Man, and Wall-E.
Yeah.
Yes! Oh, and if they had a Blu-ray of Iron Giant, I'd buy that. That's a fucking good movie.
Yeah, I still need to see that.
Oh, that's a great movie.
It does have the human penis as the robot voice in it.
I haven't watched it in a couple years, but very, very good.
Nice.
And Brad Bird.
Yeah, I've never heard anybody say anything bad about that movie. I mean,
it's great. And it takes place in the 50s.
Nice.
That's what I liked about one thing I liked in WALL-E, where he goes through all the satellites that are littering Earth's atmosphere, and he's got Sputnik stuck to his face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, he's got Sputnik. And well, Iron Giant's cool, because it shows the Earth from space.
Okay.
And the first thing you see is Sputnik going around it. So instantly you know it's like the Cold 50s. War era, you know? And then, of course, the robot crashes, but it's really good. You should watch it.
Nice.
And it's got Jennifer Aniston in it, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's a really convincing single mother. You wouldn't think that of her, because, you know, back then she was, like, young.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Nice. So,
okay, well, hey, why don't we wrap up by... Oh, man, we went over again.
Well,
okay,
let's talk about like, 3 weeks or something,
yeah.
So...
Let's talk about some games now, because we've talked about Blu-rays and taxes and manufacturing. Okay, I'm going to say this now. I think Fallout 3 is better than Oblivion.
I would have to disagree, just because I haven't played Fallout 3 much, but I got through the vault and ran around a little bit, and I did that in one day, and I haven't gone back to it in the weeks since.
It takes some getting used to, but once you get into it, it sucks you in just like Oblivion.
Because like Oblivion just like swallowed me right from the beginning, and yeah.
Well, yeah, but...
And I like not having guns in a game. It's like...
Yeah, the guns take some getting used to. I mean, there's something, like, romantic about it being swords.
Yeah.
But once you get used to, like, the VAT system...
Yeah, that's really cool. I liked that.
And you can't just run away from bad guys in Fallout like you can in Oblivion, because, of course, they can shoot you.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know, I guess... Oh, I mean, I think it's better.
Pretty damn good game, but I don't know.
It's, you know, it's... Technically, it's just as good as Oblivion or better. It resolves a lot of nagging issues that Oblivion had. It has, like, the same, you know, dynamic money system that Oblivion had.
Yeah.
On top of that, it has the luxury of having... It can be, like, ironic and funny. You know, it has, like, this... I don't know...
Yeah, it's
like
true.
If the 50s kept going for 100 years and there was a nuclear war or whatever, so... It can have all these, like, interesting, like, statements and... jokes and, you know, stuff they couldn't do in Oblivion, because Oblivion basically has, like, a straight face, a fantasy world.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know, I think it's awesome.
Yeah, it seemed pretty cool. The things I liked with it, from what I saw, was, you know, like, the choices you get to have, you know, like, there's that town you go into pretty early on, and there's, like, the nuke in the middle of it that's just kind of, like, sitting there, and...
Oh, yeah.
You get to have a choice as to, like, to disarm it, or you can, like, set it off and blow away the town, and there's choices like that all through the game, from what I've read and everything.
That's one of the bigger ones, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, you get to play...
Then there's, like, consequences of it, too.
Yeah, which is the great part, and, you know, you could just play it as a completely evil character, basically, if you want to.
Like Dave did.
Yeah, or you can just be, like, you know, the hero and all that, and, you know, different things happen in the story based on how you go through it. And a lot of games, you know, claim to, you know, reach that level, but few really do. And from what this one sounds like, it seems like this one comes pretty close to achieving that.
One of the things I like about it that makes it better than Oblivion is... Oblivion was a great game, but the main quest, basically, you go into an Oblivion gate. It looks the same as the last Oblivion gate. You find a stone, and the gate closes. Wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
And most of the quests that characters have you do involve you going into a cave and finding an artifact. It's pretty repetitive. Fallout's... There's still a lot of Bethesda cave dwelling, but it's got a lot more outdoor activity, and
But you
there's a lot more variety.
But nobody says, thank you, kind sir.
No, but they do say, another satisfied customer.
Nice. Well, and I played Gears 2, which is pretty cool. I haven't beaten it yet, but I'm like just at the beginning of the final act, I think.
Is it as badass as they say?
I like it quite a bit. Like, the first one, I thought, yeah, it's a good game, but I didn't really, you know, get all like, oh, you know, yeah, this is awesome. Where this new one, it's really good. It's, like, more epic, no pun intended. Like, it just is on a grander scale with the battles and things like that. It's much more open feeling than the first one. Like, the first one, you were kind of, like, in these towns and going down streets.
Yeah, I kind of like how the Call of Duty games got better about that, too, where it doesn't just seem like you're in a tunnel.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of really cool stuff like that, and, you know, there's some interesting battles that take place in it. You know, like, you're out in the open air for a good part of it, then you have to go down into the earth and fight. You actually go inside this creature. It was kind of reminiscent of the part in Halo 3 where the I'm a thief, but I keep what I steal part. I can't remember what that part's called. Where you're...
We should play through the game again sometime.
We should.
Funky.
It was fun. But, yeah.
Betrayment!
But, like, you go inside this creature. It's, like, this great part because you have your chainsaw thing, of course, still.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, go in and cut, like, the blood vessels away from this heart. And your guy's just like, yeah! And, like, basking in the blood.
Well, I heard
that's
the dialogue's
flying
really cheesy.
Yeah, it's got some just great... What was it? Oh, that one part where this... The young rookie guy, of course, that's in your group, he's like, oh, I heard there's, you know, shitloads of locusts over by this one town. And then Marcus Fenix is like, more like 10 shitloads. It's just, like, great cheesy shit like that, like, just littered all through it.
Yeah, and, I mean, you can't take a game like that seriously. I mean, yeah. It's about a guy that goes around shooting giant locust bugs or whatever, so why not make it cheesy?
Yeah. And I played that Horde mode the other day in it, which is, like, the new online mode where you can play up to, like, with up to five people all together. And basically, you just go through wave after wave of locust horde guys coming at you, and they keep getting, you know, stronger and more difficult to battle. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of a fun mode to play. I've played through level 10 and then quit for the night or whatever.
Apparently Call of Duty 5 has a mode like that, too, except you're fighting
Nazi
zombies.
Is that the zombie one? Yeah. Yeah, I haven't played the new Call of Duty. It kind of fell through the cracks because there were so many other games.
I've heard it's good.
That came out. Yeah, it was getting good
Darren
reviews.
Brandt was telling me that it was good today. And
nice. I mean, I'm more intrigued by that than Call of Duty 4 because I know World War II has been beaten to death, but again, there's something like more romantic about that stuff or whatever because it's like...
Well, there's not like, much ambiguity left about World War II.
Yeah, and the thing with
unlike
it is,
a modern
it's like,
skirmish.
You're actually, like, fighting, you know, actual enemies. It's not, like, some faceless, nameless, you know, Middle
ultra-nationalist
Eastern country
from this little,
or something.
Little
you
town
know?
In Russia, that kind
yeah,
of bullshit. Yeah,
that sort of crap, where in World War II games, you're either fighting Nazis or you're fighting the Japanese that are attacking
yep.
our country.
And
you know?
It's not ultra-nationalist, it's the whole country you're fighting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, something to be said for that. So that would be kind of neat with the new one, because it mainly takes place in the Pacific Theater, and then I think there's some stuff where you're actually, like, the Russians fighting back the Germans when they were coming
again?
Into Russia or something like that.
The first Call of Duty had that.
See, I never played that one.
Yeah, it actually, I think had the Battle of Stalingrad in it.
Okay, yeah, I think there might be something along those lines in this one. I know there was some Russian stuff in the second one, too. But I can't remember what exactly.
I think I'm thinking
did
of the first
that.
Call of Duty. Well, there's yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the first Call of Duty. It's basically remember Enemy at the Gates
mm-hmm.
with Rachel Weisz.
Yes,
you remember that scene where they get off the boat and like one person's got a gun, the other one's got ammo.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much rip off that in the stage of Call of Duty 1. I'm pretty sure it was Call of Duty 1.
Yeah, it sounds like it, because I don't remember
but
that.
But Rachel Weisz wasn't in it. I think I actually played that game before I saw the movie, and then when I saw the movie, I'm like, wow, they ripped this off in Call of Duty.
But yeah, it's good that they went to the Pacific Theater, because it's like, yeah, you can only do D-Day so many times.
They should make a Band of Brothers video game.
Isn't that pretty much what Call of Duty is, except
they should call it Band of Brothers.
See, now they have co-op in Call of Duty finally. So,
yeah,
which is pretty cool.
I'm a thief, but I keep what I steal. Why wouldn't you keep what you steal?
I know, it's like, what kind of... Well, I suppose she could, you know, sell it or something.
Oh,
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess maybe she's kind of honorable because she's only keeping what she needs.
You should call up
it.
Peter Jackson. You know, I have his number here on my cell phone.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. You should call him up and be like, oh, yeah, Peter Jackson. Yeah, Jason Jones here. I got an idea for a Halo movie. Elizabeth Banks should be Cortana. And then over in Australia, Ka-ching. Wherever he lives, he'd be like, he'd slap his head. He'd be like, my God, that's it!
He's like, we've got a go pitcher. Be like, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah, because as soon as when we were first playing Halo 3, it was like the first Halo game I ever played, like any amount.
Yeah.
And Cortana came up and like, gosh, she reminds me of Elizabeth Banks. It's like, obviously she should be the hero, she should be in the movie.
That would be
who
awesome.
Who should be Marcus Fenix if they make Gears of War, which they want to, of course, since they're making every video game into a movie.
You know, actually, God, what's the guy's name? Is it like John Hamm or something like that? He's like on that Mad Men TV show.
I'm not familiar with that.
I haven't watched the show, but he was on Saturday Night Live like a few weeks ago, and he's got like really good presence, and he's a pretty like big dude, like big stocky guy, and he's got like the right, you know, chiseled face and everything. He could be a good pick. So there's not many actors, you know, that I think could really do Marcus Fenix justice.
What about Ron Perlman?
Well, he probably could be in it somewhere. I don't know if he'd be Marcus Fenix, but I mean, you'd have to have somebody be Dom also.
Oh, of course.
And then you got Coltrane running around.
Wasn't Len Wiseman going to make that or something?
Yeah. He was attached or is attached. I can't remember what state that
was. Oh, and they're going to do it like 300 style, like with blue screens.
Yeah, lame.
Nice.
It's like all they have to do is go to Eastern Europe and film it.
They'll probably just make Mila Jovovich Marcus Fenix for some reason.
Oh, God. I wouldn't put it past them.
So are they not making a Castlevania movie now, or what?
I hope not. I heard that was like one of the nice unintended side effects of the writer's strike, was that it kind of killed the Castlevania movie.
No, here's something. You know, we should probably wrap this up before too long, because I want to eat a pizza or something. But
or a sandwich.
Like a lot of the recent vampire movies they've made, that all star Kate Beckinsale.
Yes.
They're never sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can put Kate Beckinsale in a black leather suit and you can see her ass, you know, and it's
that's
really
great
nice
and
round. But it's not necessarily sexy.
Yeah.
But like, you have that Twilight movie, which I didn't see, but you can tell it's kind of about like love or something, or like lust,
yeah,
or whatever. And that's what it should be about, because that's what vampires
that's
are
what
like.
That's what they're about.
And look, it made a shitload of money. It's probably a piece of shit movie, but people just flock to it.
Well, that's why Bram Stoker's
exactly
Dracula kicked ass, because it played off that angle big time.
Yeah, you know, exactly. It's like Dracula, he's the ultimate bad boy, and like women want him, and he's like, you know, he's not going to take him home to mother, but you know, he's really sexy.
Yeah.
So they should, if they make a Castlevania movie, they should make that a big part of it. You know, it should be about, like, you know, sexy vampires, as Kate Beckinsale would say.
Yep. But they'll fuck it up if they make a Castlevania movie. That's why they shouldn't even do it.
It'll star Mila Jovovich, and Jason Statham will be in it. He'll be like, I am Dracula. You know who should be... I keep coming back to this. Dracula, if they make... They should make a Castlevania movie, and Jeff Goldblum should be Dracula.
Yeah, he could be all right at it, I suppose.
I think he'd be great.
What about Jeremy Irons?
He's too old. No!
He's too old.
He'd be like, I am Dracula! Nice! Maybe Terrence Stamp could be Dracula.
Yes! He's like showing up in everything now.
I know, it's awesome. Yeah. I mean, originally he was just Zod, and then where did he go?
Yeah, and then he kind of came back in, like, you know, around the early part of this decade. Then he disappeared again. Now he's like in a bunch of shit again, because he was in
Get Smart.
And then there were, like, two movies that there were trailers for that I saw on Saturday that he's in. I can't remember which ones now, but I was like, holy shit, Terrence Stamp's, like, popping up in all sorts of stuff now. Good. because he's awesome. He was the Limey.
I was just going to say...
That was a hell of a movie.
Stupidly enough, I was just like going through actors in my brain that make good Draculas, and then I came across Gary Oldman, but of course, Dracula.
Of course.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah, whenever you need a bad guy, just call Gary Oldman. And that's what was great about The Dark Knight, is he's like an awesome good guy in it for a change.
Yeah, he was a really good guy.
Just shows how good of an actor he is.
And then Christian Bale as Batman's like, I am Batman!
I will eat your soul!
Alright, well, we should wrap this up.
Yes.
But the moral of the story is, help the American economy. If you want to buy a game console, buy an Xbox. Blu-rays look pretty good. They're more expensive, but they look pretty good. Better than movies. Mila Jovovich should not be in Gears of War.
Or pretty much anything else.
Yeah.
Other than The Sixth Element, if they made it.
Yes! Now that's a movie they need to make! Yes!
Yeah, Bruce is kind of not doing anything now. You know, they could just get both of them. Be easy.
Yeah, well, who's The Sixth Element?
I don't know. Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, that would be the greatest movie ever.
It would be awesome.
That one guy died. Who was the guy, the colonel? Remember the guy he sticks in the fridge?
Oh,
he died.
Yeah, he died. Yeah, Brian James. That dude is always cool.
Dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, Luke Perry is probably still around.
Yeah, and probably pretty available, I would imagine.
Oh, shit, Chris Tucker. Well, fine, leave him out.
And then, Ian Holm's not making...
No, he'll be in The Hobbit, won't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess they are making that. Never mind, I was going to say he was done making Hobbit movies, but I guess he's not.
The Sixth Element, that'd be a hell of a movie.
Good times.
Okay, well, we will leave you with that.
Adios.
Bye, American!
Or don't complain.